was helpful to actually kind of say, this is, you know, what you should or shouldn't be doing on sexual matters particularly. But it is a basic principle of those who fear the Lord, that is, that we should not commit adultery. This morning, my thoughts are addressed to all of us who, I hope, seek God's wisdom, who fear him by following his ways, and who trust in God by putting their hope in him. I'll attempt to concentrate on the call to be faithful in marriage, but also be faithful to the text of Proverbs 5-7 that mainly deal with the need to avoid infidelity in marriage. So trying to cover the wide issues of marriage, sex, divorce, and all of the other issues would be difficult to cover in one sermon, so I'm going to focus particularly on what we have in these chapters. I mean, throughout Proverbs, the main word really that we could say is to avoid different things in life. And here in these chapters, it is avoid certain things. The warnings given to particularly men are to avoid the adulterous woman, be faithful to your wife. Avoid the dire repercussions of unfaithfulness. Avoid the hurt to self, wife, children, family and friends. And avoid the displeasure of God. So let's go through these chapters. And I'm not going to read every verse, but we are going to look at certain verses and read some of them. So Proverbs chapter 5. If you've got a Bible, you might want to follow through these verses. Proverbs 5, 1 to 12 speaks about the nature of the adulteress. And so we're going to read verses 3 to 5. Proverbs 5, starting at verse 3. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths are crooked, but she knows it not. Bit blunt, isn't it, say the least? But what I want us to try and focus as we look at this, and while we're focusing on these truths in the Old Testament, we need to relate to the New Testament. And whilst a lot of these verses are directed towards adulterous women and kind of encouraging men to avoid them, we can also, in our day, look at this both ways. So men actually don't be the similar, you know, don't be the same. Don't create infidelity in your marriage. Don't. So it's not just directed at women. So men, you're not escaping here this morning, because the issue of infidelity comes from both sides, doesn't it? And in the Bible, very much the man was seen as far superior, and the woman was, in a sense, the weaker part. But we live in a day, thankfully, where through Christ there is neither man, male nor female. We are all equally, in a sense, have that evil within us and have those kind of desires and those dangers within us. So kind of try and look at it from both sides. It's not just directed towards women this morning. So it's quite stark language, and we need to take it to heart. And then Proverbs 13 to 14, we won't read it, but it's a testimony of the results of failure. Proverbs 5, 15 to 18, keep sex solely with your wife. And so we're talking about marriage here and keeping sex within marriage and not outside of it. So one man with one woman constantly throughout life. And then Proverbs 5, 18, second part of verse 18 to 20. I'm just going to read this. 18. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breast satisfy you. May you ever be captivated by her. And here is the actual sense of great love within a marriage, isn't there? And the appreciation of one another. Not just the physical, but also just the the emotional and the beauty, because we are beautiful, aren't we? And we have beautiful bodies, don't we? Well, actually, if you say no, then you're denying what Christ, God, has made you. You are beautiful. We are all beautiful. And we can celebrate that within marriage. We can celebrate our physical side as well as the emotional and the spiritual as well. So rejoice in your wife. Rejoice in your husband. Be glad that you are together. And then verses 5, 21 to 30, sorry, 21 to 23. The wicked man, the adulterer, will perish wrapped in the shroud of his folly. Now, here's the opposite. Here is the man who is saying, if you actually do give in to adultery, then woe betide you. So it's not just directed towards the woman. So if you give in to the sort of woman coming to you to encourage you to be unfaithful, then you're as daft as she is, basically. And the blame is not with the woman, but with the man. So we move on then to chapter 6. And here we sort of verses move away from adultery to some other words of wisdom. And I just thought that we'd look at these because I think that some of them you will know quite well. But I think they're just interesting as well. So Proverbs 6, 1 to 5, they're talking about get yourself out of financial trouble. If you have difficult finances or if you are struggling with your money, free yourself from. It's talking about free yourselves from the stuff that holds you, and finance is one of them, and there are other things in life that sort of hold us. And he's saying just free yourself up, basically, so that you can enjoy life and be at peace with yourself. Then verses 6 to 11, work diligently. And here, verses 6 to 11, we're going to read these. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? One or two of the youngsters are smiling at this point. Poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. So the encouragement here is, work hard. Do all you can to earn your bread, as it were. And that's true for us as God's people. We need to be those who work hard. And I think it's also important that within our marriages, husband and wife, work hard for one another. It's not just for money, but work hard for one another. And then Proverbs 6, 12 to 19. Avoid a devious, crooked person. So easy to get ensnared by them as well. Not just, adulteresses, but actually people in life. We can so easily get entangled. And you may be able to, like we can in our family, think of those who have got alongside the wrong people and have got led astray. And he's saying, just be careful that you don't get locked into those who are basically evil and even committing criminal acts. So, have we got some water here? Yep. So then in chapter 7, we go back to avoiding adulterous enticements. The first few verses talk about the teacher's words that are as precious as eyesight. Some of you know that I have issues with eyesight, and those of you here have problems with eyesight. And it's really precious. And here the writer is saying that God's words are actually as important, as vital as our eyesight. And so take note. And then verse 6 to 23. Here we have a great cautionary poem following on the previous instructions on adultery. And I'm not going to read that. Look at yourself, look at it yourself at home, and just see what it's saying. But it's very clear, it's very precise, and very stark in what it's saying. And then chapter 7, verses 25 to 7, we see the deadly effects of associating with the adulteress. And so we read, get the right chapter, 25. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. It's very stark, isn't it? Here is a strong cautionary tale to be secure in your relationship as husband and wife. And don't go outside of that. Don't give in to the woman who would seek to lead you astray. Don't get led astray by the man who kind of flirts with you, who kind of, you know, sort of attracts you're attracted to. And there are great costs to adultery, and we need to really take note. So, I'm just going to add one or two other verses from Proverbs, which I just think are useful. It's not just focused here, but throughout Proverbs. And I'm just going to read them, so you won't have time to follow them, but just listen to them. Chapter 18, verse 22. Find a wife and you find a good thing. Hallelujah. And actually, we could say, find a good husband and you find a wonderful thing. You know, it works both ways. No. Now, chapter 19, verse 13. In fact, there are three sections in Proverbs that say the same thing. So I'm not quite sure. Well, anyway, you know what I'm talking about in a minute. A nagging wife is like an endless dripping tap. But I want to say also through Proverbs, it doesn't say this particularly, but a proud man is just as bad. So, you know, they're both sides to this story. And an intelligent wife is a gift from God. Come on, women, you're supposed to be a little more like active in this one, you know. You're a gift. If you're intelligent, and all of you are intelligent, you're a gift from God. So men, take note. You're not just the intelligent ones in this life. And then, just one more. This is for chapter 31 and verse 1. Do not let the vigor of your manhood to women lead you astray. So, men, be careful. Be careful. The gift of life that you have within you, keep it to your wife alone. Okay, so there's some of the scriptural basis for what we're looking at this morning. And I just want to consider a couple of other situations in Scripture regarding adultery. And the first one is pretty obvious. King David and the repercussions of his murderous adultery. And you know the story, how David actually saw Bathsheba on the roof, and she was absolutely stunning in every possible way. And he was seduced. Through his eyes, he was seduced. And that led him to commit adultery and murderous adultery at that as well. And he didn't think he'd done any wrong until the prophet Nathan came and sort of, through God, challenged him. And he realized what he'd done wrong. And he repented. And he was terribly sorry for what he'd done. And again, you see passages in the Psalms where that is reflected. He was forgiven. But there were repercussions to that act. of adultery. And it's a sad story for King David, actually. So I think it's a really sad story. From that moment on, everything goes wrong in his family, in his leadership, in so many aspects of his life. You look at the verses, it's really fascinating. And even his family seek to kill him. And in the end, he ends up having to kill some of his family even, because they're after him. And even going through, Solomon, the son of the adultery, becomes the new king of Israel. Now, is that good? You know, it just raises all sorts of issues. The repercussions of infidelity were incredible. And we need to be aware of those repercussions. They are dreadful and affects not only us, but affects others in our family, affects our friends, our children, and so on. But then in John 8, there is the woman caught in adultery, isn't there? And here we have, I think it's a fascinating account of what happened. How that the Pharisees had caught this woman in adultery. Now note, there's no reference to the man. And Jesus, I think, here is, in this whole process, correcting the whole thinking about adultery. And there's this woman being tried for adultery, and she would be stoned to death. So serious was that for the Pharisees in their understanding and reinterpretation of the law. And Jesus comes, and he just looks, and they ask him the question. He doesn't answer. He just stands there, and sort of with his whatever it was, he just sort of scribbles in the dust. And I must have thought, what on earth is this guy doing? So they ask him again, and he refuses to answer, except by saying this: any of you men, because that's who he was talking to, any of you men who has not committed any sin, throw the first stone. Interesting, isn't it? And of course, they realised what was being said, and none of them could throw the first stone. What is wonderful, Jesus then went on to say to this woman, your sin is forgiven. And in all that we're saying here, that we can fail, we can get things wrong, and we can be tempted, and the temptation can sometimes be very strong. And if we fail, there is forgiveness. If we come back to the Lord and we are terribly sorry for what we've done. A wonderful illustration of this is a lady in one of the churches where I was minister. And this happened before I went there. She wasn't a Christian initially. And her son became wonderfully became a Christian. And he was testifying to his family. And this lady became a Christian. But in this whole process, her husband had an affair. And not only did he have an affair, he left her and went to live with this other woman. And of course, she was heartbroken. She didn't know what to do. She was desperate. But she so loved her husband that she kept praying for him. And he started to go to church. And one Sunday morning, as he was in church, he just completely broke down in tears. God had touched his life. And he repented. He repented of what he had done. And the remarkable thing is that this lady just loved him so much. She not only forgave him, but she welcomed him back into her life. And they continued to live together as husband and wife. And that man had an impact in the church because of her forgiveness, her grace, and her love. And that's a picture of God. And so in all of these things, we can get things wrong, but there is forgiveness. But we need to remember that very often, in her case, in his case, the repercussions weren't so great. But so often the repercussions are really very difficult. So then, how does all this relate to today? I'm just going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I mean, if you want to read a chapter about marriage and all the implications of that, then here is a wonderful chapter that Paul has written, part of a letter that he's written to the Corinthians. And it starts off by saying this. Verse 2. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman her own husband. The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. Marriage is the place for sex. As clear as that, and as simple as that. Marriage is the place for sex. The biblical view is between one man and one woman. Now, society says something completely different, very different, doesn't it? So for those that follow Scripture and its wisdom and knowledge, this is the foundational truth that we must follow. And so men, avoid the temptress wherever she may be seen or heard, and avoid the repercussions of ruining your life and everyone you love. Don't flirt. Be careful in your relationships with women. Be wise. Be strong. Reject that which would lead you astray. Women, be sober in the way that you dress. I know it sounds silly, but you know, you can see some, you go into some churches and women are dressed in. it's not right. It's temptation to, you know, you men can be led astray. So women, be careful what you dress. Be careful what you say, how you say it. Be careful how you carry yourself. Be noble. Be noble. I'll say a little bit more about that in a minute. So women, be faithful and of noble character. Now, women hate Proverbs chapter 37. Sorry, not 37, 31. Because it gives the details of what makes a noble woman. And some of you will be aware of what there is. And but a noble character in a woman. Just verse 10 of 31. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Now, if you read through, it gives all sorts of details and about what the woman, a noble woman, would be like. And I'm not going to go through these, and I'm not going to say this is what a noble woman is like today, because we live in a different society. Things have changed, whether right or wrong, but things have changed. But the issue for me is that women be noble. And look at these verses, read them when you go home, look at them and just kind of think, well, how can I be a more noble wife today? But men, you know, I'm not asking you to go home necessarily and read these verses. But think, go home and think, how can I be a more noble husband? I think we really need to think these things through. Be noble wives. Be noble husbands. And all of us, well, we now live in a more equal world between men and women. And as I've been saying all through, some of these principles do apply both ways. And we need to be careful that we follow them. Let neither husband or wife seek to lure others to sexual unfaithfulness. Husband and wife, avoid the temptations from wherever they may come. Husband and wife, be faithful to your partner and be people of noble character. And as we read in Ephesians chapter 5, 33, husbands, love your Wives. Wives, respect your husbands. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the word in Scripture. And thank you for the word that we can hear. And Father, I pray that the words that have been shared here this morning may be words of life and words of health, words of encouragement, words of challenge. But Lord, that as we move our lives forward, that whether we're married or whether we're still single, that Lord, that you will reveal great truths to us and that we might live by them. May we honour you as we honour one another. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.